It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is a former NFL player with the Philadelphia Eagles and New England Patriots. Kevin Riley is now an acclaimed inspirational speaker, author, former broadcaster for the Philadelphia Eagles Network. He has motivated thousands with his journey of overcoming illness and obstacles. In 1976, Kevin was diagnosed with a rare tumor that led to the amputation of his left arm, ending his career in the National Football League. His life story is now chronicled in his new book, Tackling Life. Here to talk about how faith, family, friends, and fortitude kept this NFL linebacker in the game is Kevin Riley. Kevin, it's great to have you back on. Blessed to Play.
Ron, it's so happy to be with you again. I remember when you were here in Philadelphia for Man Up, you and I had a session together, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you again. So thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the book itself, why did you decide now is the right time to put your life story out there in literary form?
Well, you know, Ron, you were at Man Up in Philadelphia, and I've done about five of these Catholic men's conferences. I've been to Oklahoma, Boston, Washington, Nashville, and Philly was my, you know, my home town. And, you know, I only lived down the street in Wilmington, Delaware, about 22 miles away. And I got to be the lead-off speaker. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where I felt so at ease that day because these were my peeps, as they say. I don't have to worry about being politically correct. I'm talking to the Catholic men. And, you know, I was just really inspired that day because I felt like I was in my own backyard. And I wanted to kick off the conference in a very positive way. And you know that I add some humor to my talk. And at the very end of it, one of the speakers came up to me right after the event, and he said, pointed at my chest and said, "When are you going to get the book out? You could have sold 500 books today." And I don't mean that from a standpoint of, you know, making money. You could have helped guys that are really struggling with some of the same things that you struggled with, which was basically divorce. You know, I go in my book and I talk about I was a former alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And everybody thinks that, you know, losing my arm was the big thing. But really, I had about three or four big issues, and you just got to keep meeting them head on. That was the inspiration, Ron, for me to say, hey, you know what? This guy's right. I'm not helping people the way I could. God gave me a gift here. He did this, you know, situation with me for a reason. And while I have this platform, I've got to get this book done. And that started it in last March, and we got it done in October, to tell you how quickly we got it done once I got, you know, motivated.
So this book will definitely touch people who do read it. So in 1973, you're drafted out of Villanova by the Dolphins, but you wound up latching on with the Eagles in your backyard of Wilmington, Delaware. So life is good, special teams captain, then you go to New England, play for the Patriots. So, Kevin, you're living the NFL dream, your highest high, I would imagine. And then you notice a bump on your shoulder. You go to the doc. And after test, you hear this, quote, "Kevin, you have a desmoid tumor, and we will be lucky if I can save your arm," unquote. Kevin, there was a battle to save your arm, and doctors, once confident they could forego amputation, started to waver. Take us through your state of mind going from hopeful news to what was a low point in your life, as you not only were in a battle to save the arm, but your life was in the balance as well.
Ron, I'll tell you, you hit the big nerve of the entire book. I went up to to see a doctor in Sloan Kettering Hospital that worked there. His name was Dr. Ralph Marco. After two failed operations in Philadelphia at Temple Hospital, I was diagnosed originally with a non-cancer benign tumor, and they had taken it out twice, and it had come back quickly and bigger the second and third time. And so the doctor from Temple knew that it was something special, and he hooked me up with this fantastic doctor in New York City. So 3-hour drive into the city, and I wasn't big on New York City at the time. I've learned to love it since then, but I go to a waiting room. I'm waiting 2.5 hours to see this doctor. I'm sweating because it's a summertime and there's no windows in this place and the room is crowded. And the only reason I'm going there is so I can see this doctor who will finally get enough margins to take this tumor out so that I can get back and resume my NFL career for a year or two, because there was a pension involved and I was 1 year away from my pension. And here I am thinking I'm going to make a comeback in the NFL and hurry up and see me, doc, and let's get this thing taken care of. And I walk in, and after about, I'm not even exaggerating, 30 seconds of examining me, and by the way, taking me one knee after he pushed on the tumor, he said, you know what, you have a desmoid tumor. This diagnosis that the other doctors gave you was incorrect, and I'll be lucky if I can save your arm. My knees buckled. I mean, I was on this in the assumption that I was going to go back and play in the NFL, and this guy's talking about me losing a limb. And as it turns out, I lost an arm, I lost a shoulder, and four ribs. That's how much they had to take off of me in order to guarantee that they got the margin. So that was the biggest turning point that I think any human being can face when you think that you're going to get taken care of, and then somebody gives you a diagnosis that you were not even ready one bit to be confronted with.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer. I'm chatting today with Kevin Riley. He's the author of his new book, Tackling Life. We'll tell you how to get that at the end of this show. So, Kevin, you have this chapter title, in your book, Am I Ready to Meet God? And you mentioned you go through two operations. You lost your left scapular and a clavicle, and now you're preparing for a third surgery, which essentially was to save your life by having a four-quarter amputation done. Talk about Father O'Brien entering the room and going from fear to peace, and you even asked for communion at that time as well.
Yeah, it was fun. Never forget it, Ron. It's one of those, you know, moments in your life that will stick with you forever. But it's 5:30 in the morning, and I'm, you know, in my hospital room in Sloan Kettering, and it's raining. It's chilly outside, October, and I didn't turn the lights on in the room. I just sat up, and I was waiting for the gurney to come get me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying some prayers, and I'm shivering. And I don't know if I'm shivering because I'm scared, cold, but I was probably a little of both. And next thing I know, my doorway, I don't even know who's in it, but I see a big shadowy figure in the doorway. And as soon as he spoke, I knew it was the chaplain for our floor, Father O'Brien. And he said to me, Kevin, it's Father O'Brien. Would you like to receive communion? And I said, absolutely, Father. So he came in and gave me communion. And I remember an old oblate saying from my high school days at Salesianum, which is an all-Catholic boys high school here in Wilmington, Delaware, that the minute that God comes into a room, fear leaves immediately. Well, I can't say all my fear left, probably about 50%. And as I kid with people that I talk to about this, and I tell them that about 10 minutes later, a nurse came in to give me a calm-down shot in the rear end, and then 100% of my fear left. But the amazing part was, it's amazing how, when we all have a similar problem, that bonding happens immediately. I was placed in an area with eight other gurneys, all of us getting ready for operation. It was like, you know, the prep area for the operating rooms. And we all got to know each other in a matter of 15 minutes that we were down there. And one lady next to me was going in for breast surgery, and the guy next to me was going in for some testicle problems. And, you know, we meet each other and sharing the story, and everybody's a little lightheaded because they've all had this shot to calm them down. And right before the lady next to me was to be the first one to be wheeled in, she said, hold it. Hey, why don't we all hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer? Is everybody okay with that? And the guy on the very end, I know his first name was Mel. I don't remember his last name, but he yells up, I'm Jewish, but right now, I'll agree to anything. Just help me with the words. And so, you know, another example of people coming together when things are tough. And so we said the Lord's Prayer. And as one after another was taken off, you wished them good luck. And, you know, tears would come to your eyes because you got to know their story. And you knew you were being going to be prayed for by them. And finally, Father O'Brien appears to my right as I'm one of the two left to be wheeled in, and he comes up. I thought he was going to the guy next to me to give him communion. He comes up to my gurney, and he says, Kevin, how are you feeling? I said, Father, did you have Alzheimer's? You already gave me communion this morning. He said, I'm not here to give you communion. I'm here to give you the sacrament of the sick. Mm. Well, I was an old altar boy, Ron, and I remember when that was called the last rites. Mm-hmm. And the blood must have drained out of my face because he said, hasn't Dr. Marco been here yet? And of course, just as he said that, the doctor arrived coming down the corridor. He was late as usual, very busy man because he was such a great surgeon. And he came up to me and had a form and said, you have to sign this. I meant to give this to you last night. And I said, what is it? He said, just sign it. And I said, I think I'll read it. It had two paragraphs in it, but I only remember one sentence. And the one sentence says, as the adult in this operation, you totally agree and understand that there is a 33% chance that you will not survive the event. Well, Ron, as Johnny Carson would say, I did not know that. And I can tell you that in the next 10 minutes before that anesthesia took place, there was nothing in this world that mattered to me except what was my relationship with my God. Mm-hmm. Nothing that I'd ever done in the NFL mattered. My great family, I love them to death. But right now, my number one thing is, am I ready to meet God? And that was quite a wake-up call. And I can remember saying the act of contrition backwards and forwards and just trying to make sure that I got in the right words. And it's just an unbelievable experience to know that in the next minute, I'm going to go out, and when I wake up, I'll either be here on earth or I'll be meeting my God. And fortunately for me, I was coming back to earth, and I realized that when I first saw a clock on the wall. So I knew I was back on earth. But it's hard for me to explain to people when given the opportunity to know that you may die in the next hour or 15 minutes or whatever, that the most important thing in the world to you is what is your relationship with your Creator, because that is our number one goal in this earth. Nothing else matters. And a quote that I really wanted to put in the book, and I think I did, was it's from one of the Cardinals of Chicago. Cardinal George of Chicago said on his deathbed, the only thing that we take with us when we die is what we give to others. And boy, if that's not the truth, and I witnessed that day at Sloan Kettering Hospital.
All right, let's leave it right there. On the other side, tough times don't last, but tough people do. How Kevin Riley restored hope. You're in the Faith and Sports Zone. Don't move. This is Less to Play.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
My good friend, Reverend Frank Pavone, recently reminded me that when we pray for an end to abortion, when we pray for pregnant women contemplating abortion, when we pray for the grieving mothers and fathers of aborted babies, we must remember these people. We need to pray for abortionists and their staff. If the very idea is difficult for you, try to imagine their tormented souls and the likelihood of where they may spend eternity. Some of my closest friends are those who came out of the abortion industry. Their lives have been deeply scarred by abortion, but even so, they're some of our most eloquent and effective ambassadors for Christ and the babies. Yes, when you pray for an end to abortion, remember those still in the killing fields.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard about Church Pop? Church Pop features new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Kevin Riley, former NFL player with the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots back in the 70s. And he has a new book out, folks. It's called Tackling Life, How Faith, Family, Friends, and Fortitude Kept an NFL Linebacker in the Game. And I think he means the game of life. Kevin is an amputee of his arm, goes around speaking, very inspirational. And we talked about in the first half of the show being diagnosed, eventually having operations and overcoming fear. But Kevin, it didn't end here. You had a lot of mental hurdles to overcome. As you mentioned, you had your left arm, shoulder, and four ribs removed. And now you had to adapt to life as never before. And I'm sure during this time you think about the future, your family, and life as you have never known it. In fact, you went through a depressed state, and former Pittsburgh Steeler and Vietnam vet Rocky Blyer played a part in you coming out of the feeling sorry stage. Talk about that.
It was amazing. I was at my lowest ebb. The doctor had just come in and talked to me about the operation, which he thought was very successful. And he ended it with, "I think I got it all." And the word "think" stuck in my brain and turned me just like on a downward spiral. I couldn't even imagine that this tumor would or could come back. I thought he had gotten it all. And he said, "To the best of my knowledge, I think I did." Well, I didn't want to hear "think." I wanted to hear, "I positively, we got it all. Don't worry." And then he told me it would be 10 years before he could say that I was in remission. 10 years. It sounded like a jail sentence. So I told the head nurse on the floor that I did not want any visitors that day. And she was a little upset with that. And by the way, I got back in touch with her after 40 years, and she picked up the phone and we talked like it was yesterday. I had to have her read the part. Joan Kaiser was the nurse, and she's a head of nursing now at Presbyterian in New York. And I had to have her vet the chapter that I did to make sure that I had the facts right and that I didn't put anything in there that she would be offended with. But she was really against me doing that, but I assured her that I needed to wrap my head around this new situation. You know, I had pictures of my 2-year-old, my 1-year-old, and my infant on a little stand, and I had to put them down because every time I looked at them, I started to tear up. How was I going to be a husband again? Who would I go to work for? Would Xerox, mm-hmm. My company that I work for, accept me back to work, or would they put me on, you know, permanent disability? All these things going through my head. When a very well-mannered person who was a counselor and a volunteer to the hospital, his name was Frank, appeared at my doorway. And to make a long story short, he was an amputee from World War II and was there to tell me about all the things that I would have problems with going forward, including things like tying my shoes and tying a necktie, driving. And I know he was there to help me, Ron, but he really depressed me because I hadn't even thought of these things yet. Mm-hmm. And when he left, and one of the things that I do in my speeches is while I'm telling that part of the story, I untie and retie my tie because it can be done if you persist and try enough times. Mm-hmm. I get a call from Rocky Blyer, and I take it only because I know that Rocky had been through a tremendous crisis in his life in Vietnam and miraculously was able to get back on the football field. And he is now the winner of 4 Super Bowl rings. Mm-hmm. So here was a guy that, you know, was a Catholic. He went to Notre Dame. We identified. We weren't great friends, but we were friends. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, you get a guy that calls you like this when your ebb is so low. I was hitting the ground with my mind and my depression. And he perked me up, and he perked me up in a way that was manly. You know, he challenged me. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, "Has anybody been in to talk to you about your limitations?" And I told him about Frank and how he had depressed me, telling me about all these things I wouldn't be able to do. And Rocky, real quickly after I said that, he said, "You must promise me something. You must promise me something." And I said, "Whoa, Rock, yeah, whatever you want." He said, "You must promise me you won't quit on anything unless you try it a dozen times." I said, "Rock, you know what? I think this guy is a little bit more of an expert at this than you and I are." And before I could get out another word, Ron, he said, "Let me tell you something about experts. Experts built the Titanic and amateurs built the Ark. Experts can be wrong." And it was that day that he talked me into stepping up. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. And the one valuable lesson that I've talked to him several times, you know, after this, we are friends today. He's just had both knees replaced and hoping to get on the speaking tour again. But one of the things that we found out from this that we both agree on is that the human spirit is stronger than anything that can happen to it. Mm. And us two Catholic boys believe that the human spirit is interchangeable with the Holy Spirit. And it really is. You know, we wait until we're put in difficult situations to find out just how strong we really are. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wait for difficult situations to do that because we have that inner strength all along. That day, Rocky Blyer reaching out to me probably saved my mental life. And it's things like that that make me think not to, going forward, not to ever pass up somebody that might need some help, a little encouragement or a little inspiration, whatever. And you never know how you're going to impact people. But that was a very, very special day for me.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer once again chatting with Kevin Riley, former NFL player and author of the book Tackling Life. Well, Rocky Blyer certainly inspired you, Kevin, but this wasn't it. Here comes another brick your way. On top of all this, your wife of 20 years wanted a divorce, and you started to question faith in God after all you went through. So how did you pull yourself up after this latest hit?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I was skeptical and upset with my God was, hey, you know, you've given me one big problem, one big issue. I never looked back. I never said, woe is me. These things happen to people. But really, God, you know, really, a good Christian family that I'm raising here, you're going to break this up. How did this happen? How could you let this happen to me? That was my initial reaction to all of this. And I didn't see it coming. My wife just told me one day she was leaving and she packed up and left. And I had three kids that I had to get through college. And I was struggling. And again, when I talk about faith, right then I was a little low on faith. But I'll go to family and friends, and they came to my aid like nobody's business, because I went into a real funk for about 60 days. Mm-hmm. People at work understood. My depression helped me through it. And one of my very best friends, Murray Sawyer, helped me set up a strategy financially that I wouldn't drown and wouldn't have to go to bankruptcy. And that plan worked exactly right. As a matter of fact, he told me to take on every speaking engagement and every broadcasting opportunity, no matter if it was $100 or $10,000, because I needed to stay busy and it would be something that I could do once I retired. Mm-hmm. And look what happened. It turned into my second career. So looking back, I really believe I should not have gotten angry with God, because I'm reminded that God has three answers to our prayers. Yes, no, and not right now. You don't understand. Mm-hmm. And with that time, it was not right now. You don't understand. This whole situation with the divorce has made me kind of a beacon to these guys that are going through it. Mm-hmm. At these Catholic men's conferences. And I'm able to talk to them about it and assure them that things will get better. And, you know, to take the high road through it all, there's no use, you know, becoming angry about the situation, because usually there's kids involved. So it's funny, Ron, how God touches us in different ways and asks us to do some of the tasks that he put us on earth to do. But I really believe, and that's why I put it in the book, I wanted people to know that, you know, losing my arm wasn't my only issue that I had to deal with.
Well, I want to talk about the hopeful part of your life now and what you're doing. You're on the speaking circuit. You're inspiring others. You remarried the love of your life now, Paula. You have a happy life. So talk about this part of your life now, Kevin, because you've come full circle from almost losing your life to now living it more abundantly.
You know, I was just at a speaking engagement yesterday, and somebody asked me if I had any animosity still towards not being able to play football in this day and age when they were really making a lot of money, and how come the NFL didn't take care of me, and don't I have, you know, some anger towards that? And I said, no, I don't. I said, I'm just really blessed with the opportunity. And I said, I really don't have any anger about any of these issues that happened to me, because I looked and I tapped my shoulder at the time. I said, I never knew this, but losing my arm was a blessing from God. Because it was a way he wanted to steer me and give, you know, when I'm standing in front of people in a motivational speech, I'm not talking about cancer that you can't see. I have a real live impression of when I walk onto a stage, whether it's grade school kids, high school kids, college kids, or NFL players, where I got their immediate attention because I'm missing an arm. And, you know, if you had to pick, and this is what I talk about blessings, if you had to pick a limb to lose, it would be an arm. And if you had to pick an arm to lose, it would be your non-dominant arm. And it is my non-dominant arm. I'm right-handed, and I lost my left arm. And so, as they say, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed guy is king. Well, I really believe that this thing could have been a whole lot worse. And I am blessed that God has given me this direction and has challenged me, because every time I came out of one of these challenges, Ron, I got stronger mentally and spiritually.
And Kevin, you've run a few marathons, I understand, so you haven't stopped your athletic inclinations by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I'm a grinder, you know. God blessed me with some athletic talent, but I always had to work hard. And one of the things I like to do is I like to run. I've run in 5 half marathons and only 1 marathon. And, you know, that just is a challenge to me, and I feel good when I do it, and I want to keep my weight down, and I want to be as healthy as I can so I can continue to deliver these messages and help people. I got 10 great-grandchildren right now who I want to be active with. So from a selfish standpoint, I want to be in shape so I can enjoy all these things. But it is something that I have a little bit of a passion for, and I really enjoy doing it. I get to think during times that I run. I don't know why. I guess because there's no, iPhones, as I call it. These things are such interrupters in our life. It's really a time where I can get to reflect. So I'm still keeping active. I've been blessed with an orthopedic surgeon who's been able to fix everything that goes wrong with me to keep me running, and I'll keep running until I can't.
Well, the book is Tackling Life by our guest today, Kevin Riley. For more on the book and to purchase a copy, which I would encourage all of you to do, go to www.tacklinglifebook.com. That's www.tacklinglifebook.com. Kevin, thanks so much. Obviously, it's inspiring, but real life problems, hurdles, adversity, and I think your sports background actually gave you that strong will to persevere and your faith as well. And I really do appreciate you coming on Blessed to Play.
Ron, it was a pleasure being on with you, and if what you and I did today helps 2 people, it will be a major success. So thanks again for having me on, and I hope to do it again with you sometime in the near future.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You could like us on Facebook and follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Kevin Riley, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.